Last year, some 8,100 refugees and asylum seekers fled their home countries, and they came to Michigan hoping to start a new life. Now, many of these people may have wanted to stay at home, but war and organized violence made it impossible, and the United States opened its doors to them. The World Health Organization estimates a full 50% of these refugees are suffering from mental illness. But the doctors and the therapists who work with these refugees, many believe that number is too low. What is life like for these wartime refugees and asylum seekers in Michigan? And what's being done to ease their transition into their new life and help treat these people as they suffer from psychiatric disabilities? Hussam Abdulkhalik is the program supervisor at the Access Psychosocial Rehabilitation Center. Access is based in Dearborn. It is the largest Arab American human services nonprofit in the nation. It has many, many years of good work in the community to point to. And we're very pleased that Hussam could join us here in the studio. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. I'm honored.
Well, tell us, beginning, give us an idea, where are your clients from? What countries have these refugees and asylum seekers tended to come from?
The majority of our clients come from Iraq and choosing to settle in the United States. So we've been dealing with a wave of refugees from the 90s, but we still work with a lot of other asylum seekers coming from African countries, a lot of Middle Africa, Cameroonian, Congolese. Those specialize in asylum. They come here and they're seeking protection in the United States from the government of the United States by applying for asylum. And that's where we get a lot of our clients too from. So we come across a lot of diverse population, but the majority, like I say, are Iraqis.
And give us, if you can, some of the backstories of the refugees you work with to give us an understanding. Why were they forced to flee? What was happening that made them have to leave their homes and come to America?
The main reason behind all of refugee and asylum seekers is they seeking safety. This is the main reason. They want to be in a safer place where they could be surviving and they're raising their family in a safer place. So seeking safety, this is the main reason for all refugee and asylum seekers. Let's say, for example, let's take the Iraqis, for example. I mean, the war during Saddam Hussein time was a lot of trauma. They experienced a lot of traumatic events, wars. The war with Iran lasted for about 10 years. It has a lot of impact on all Iraqis, and I'm talking about everybody. One of the statistics I read recently that widowed women in Iraq is 4 to 1. So we're talking about a large majority of women who've been widowed because of their husband serving in the Iraq-Iran war. Living in these countries took them a long while before they get recognized by United Nations as refugees. And then after that, they get the choice to where they want to settle. And a lot of those, you know, been choosing to settle in the United States because of some of them have family members back here.
It's the beginning of a toehold.
It's the beginning, yeah. Yes. But the main reason I come across doing my work for the past 13 years with this population, everybody is seeking safety. That's what they want to be in a safer place. They want to be protected.
And when the doors to this country are opened and these people are allowed to stay, it's for very good reasons. And what are some of the experiences?
They coming with something we call it a cumulative trauma. Many layers of a trauma because of many reasons. Because I look at them in three stages. Experiences, traumatic events, whatever they witness before they flee their country. Mm-hmm. For example, Iraqis. Like I told you, during Saddam Hussein and then the war after that, occupation. And then the most significant problem Iraq had, the sectarian violence that lasted for many years, even until now. It still exists in Iraq. Forced these people to flee this country. But now this is the first stage I look at. Mm-hmm. Many, many experiences. They experienced war zones. They witnessed the killing, bodies in the streets. A lot of people experience many, many traumatic events. I have many clients who telling me stories for they were targeted because just ethnic group, religious group, who they are, and believe it or not, even what they, you know, what they have, who they are. If you remember, the doctors were targeted
big time.
Professionals were targeted. I have a client, a young man, who came a few years back, and he the reason behind him torture. He was kidnapped, and they asked him for ransom for about 3 weeks. And during that 3 weeks, he was kidnapped. The main reason they kidnapped him from the street because he was washing his car wearing a shirt. That's the only reason. And this kind of chaos, that's what they live on. So everybody, before they flee their country, we're talking about one stage of experience. Mm-hmm. Then you go to the next stage. During the flee from the country, or where they settle, where they stay in. A lot of these refugees, example, Iraqis, they went to Jordan, Syria.
And they're in camps.
Syria camps.
Yeah.
They live in, but they have no access to any services, no health, no mental health, none of these things they have access to. It. And it took a while before United Nations recognized them mm-hmm. as refugees. So they live in a very, very bad circumstances. And then United States government assist this individual mm-hmm. with only 8 months of worth of assistance. Only 8 months. After 8 months, all your benefits are cut off. So for sure, they do have psychological problem. Mm-hmm. For sure, mm-hmm. they have mental health problem. And this is where I always been advocating on their behalf. For the past 13 years, I've been always advocating they need psychological assistance. They need psychological help.
I'm speaking today with Hussam Abdulkhalik, who is the program supervisor at the Access Psychosocial Rehabilitation Center, based in Dearborn, the largest Arab American human services nonprofit in the nation. And how are you able to help? Because we know money for mental health services is such a longstanding problem in Michigan. You've seen millions of dollars in mental health funding has been cut. Michigan closed more than 26 mental health institutions since 1981. So you've got the money obstacle. Are there other obstacles as well? Is there a stigma that keeps people from wanting to seek help?
Absolutely. We deal with all of these issues, especially the stigma, you know, especially for the Arabic cultures or all of these, we call them, I call them, it's conservative cultures where they came from. Mm-hmm. They deal with a lot of their psychological problem internally and within, inside their families and all that stuff. But when they have that many issues and they have many obstacles, and especially with the language, that's another thing. And then the funding, very, very, very minimum funding for all of these people. When we're talking about refugees, yeah. Iraqis came to the United States, we're talking about since 2007 until March 2013, 83,341 Iraqi refugees came. And many studies has indicated a large number, a larger percentage of this population have psychological problem. I'm going to point to you two studies.
Yes.
The most recent study done in Utah by one of the victim of torture centers like ours, they have a center there. They did the study on 500-something individuals on a survey to find out if they have psychological problem. They find out that 67% complain and suffer from psychological problem. Another study United Nations have done back in 2009-10, they interviewed about 2,000 individuals who entered from Iraq to Syria and Jordan. They interviewed them and asked them about psychological problems. They find out that 30 to 35% at least exhibit psychological, PTSD symptoms. So mm-hmm. we're talking about these at least two studies have been done indicating that they suffer from psychological problem.
As they're trying to set up a new life in this brand new world, and they're suffering from this, and they're not being treated, what is life like for these people?
It's going to continue to be traumatic on them. Mm. I mean, you're adding more layers of a trauma. And I've been seeing a lot of people who, the minute, the first month they arrived in the United States, I saw them and I treated them as a clinician in my office. And then I saw individuals who went through all of this process. And I went, after their benefits being cut off and all that stuff, all of this add to their trauma. I know. I seen it every day. Mm-hmm. I seen it with all of these anxiety symptoms increased. A lot of symptoms of PTSD, increase. They need a lot of help. They need a lot of psychological help. Now, this is how I see it. We bring these refugees to the United States. We bring them to be productive. But when they do have a psychological problem that is not treated, you're not creating a productive citizen. We're not.
And are you worried that you're going to have, with what's going on in Syria, do you see an influx of even more people?
Absolutely. We know that Syrians refugees in Iraq and in Jordan and in neighboring countries like Turkey, Jordan and Lebanon, they waiting for United Nations to recognize mm-hmm. them as refugees. And I know this is going to take an effect any time, because exactly that's what happens with the Iraqis. When that take effect, then they will be flooded everywhere. We're talking about close to 3 million too of Syrians now in the neighboring countries of refugees. That's a large, large number. And they've been through a lot of traumatic events too, and they have a lot of problems. This is going to be, I don't know exactly where they're going to be settled. I don't know. So far, we received a few refers, mm-hmm. but they did not enter the country as refugees. They enter country in different visas, but they have psychological problem. We've been helping them. But we're talking about individuals,
yes,
but
yes.
not that massive numbers they will be coming. But I know that's coming.
And I guess I don't hear any solutions into this. I hear that you're in there working day after day after day, and it probably feels like you're trying to scale a mountain, but am I not hearing any kind of solution or any kind of summit where you could say we're in a better place for these people?
These individuals and these people comes with a holistic problems, mm-hmm. medical, psychological, basic needs, all of these things. It's a whole package. And when we're talking about individuals, we're talking about families too, their children and their wives and their husbands and all of that stuff. So imagine you dealing with this kind of population, with this kind of individual and family. They come with that much of a holistic needs.
And knowing that our state is cash strapped and social services have been cut, are you hoping for community support and volunteers, churches, physicians? What is it you hope that you will get from the community at large in Michigan?
I hope the community will contribute to that to their welfare. And I know the community being a very, very supportive to a lot of those individuals. One of the main reasons a lot of those individuals, mainly Iraqis, come to Michigan because they have family members mm-hmm. here. They seek that support. They want that support because they cannot depend on the other support coming from the state. We facing a major, major problem because it's a large number of refugees. And if we're not equipped as a state, as a country, as a government, as a community to work and to help to assist all of this large influx of refugee and population asylum seekers, it's always going to be a problem. It's always going to be a problem. Our program will only be able to serve about an average 300 clients per year. We're not equipped in a staff or services mm-hmm. to serve that much large population. And go back to the sticks I shared with you.
Yes.
If we're saying at least 50-60% of those have psychological problem, so when you treat not even 1%, you're leaving that other 49% and 50% untreated with that many problem. So this is, it's a major issue, and it has to be looked differently. They have to pay attention to the mental health component. By doing right screening from the beginning, by funding programs like ours and others in a state to provide services. And I know people who get the right help, they will be much, much more productive at the end.
And it all starts with
and
awareness.
And we add to our country as, you know, we want a productive citizen. And this is what we want at the end. This is the goal for everybody.
Hussan Abdulkhalik is the program supervisor. He works with refugees and asylum seekers at the Access Psychosocial Rehabilitation Center in Dearborn. And awareness is where it all begins, so you've certainly helped with that. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.